please find our seats and open up our hymnals to song number 413.
Up that latter half of 32 tonight, so that's what we'll be tonight. then we've got churchwide soul winning, the regional soul winning salvation for baptisms below that. Of course, a couple happy birthdays for everybody listed there. And if your name is not listed here or your anniversary and you'd like it to be, just got to give me that information and I'll make sure that it's in there the next month. So I know there's, I think, one birthday in here that's not mentioned. It was today, right? Who was it? Ollie, right? So little Ollie had a birthday today, so we'll try to get him in there for next year. But if you see him, make sure you wish him a happy birthday as well as everyone else on the list. And then, of course, speaking of birthdays, today was the 6-year anniversary of our church, so congratulations to all of us on 6 years. So it's actually a very crucial time. A lot of churches don't make it past 5. A lot of pastors quit between 5 and 7 years. So, you know, it's a very, it's really something to have made it this far, is what I'm saying. Don't take that lightly. Don't just think, oh, you know, no big deal. It was just 3 years, you know, that we'd say that wasn't a big deal, right? Because apparently that was my attitude at the 3-year anniversary. You know, it's just like, 3 years, come on. So now we're twice as far, so now I can actually be a little impressed with what we've been doing here, okay? So, but I don't mean to make light of it. Obviously, you know, every year is an important year in the church's history, so keep plugging along, and we'll continue to serve the Lord together for many years to come, I'm sure, Lord willing. Speaking of serving the Lord, let's go ahead and count up the soul winning, going back to Friday, and we're going to Friday, or Saturday, or today.
Seven.
I heard you call it, in front of New Era, you're going to call it the
Fruitville.
Fruitville?
Yeah.
Fruitville. Okay.
It was fruitful, not
fruitful. Okay, all right. You can even think of that name. You ain't getting anybody saved in Fruitville. If you're thinking about the type of fruits I'm thinking about, anyway. So. Finally made the connection. Anyway, I guess that's just, we don't use that term around here like that, right? We just say bad. So. Not that kind. The fruits we like are the people that get saved.
Amen.
We love fruits here.
Yeah.
We love fruits. That'll do it for announcements. Let's go ahead and sing one more song before we get into preaching. All right.
All right, if you could please turn your hymnals to song number 65.
Thank you.
he reads through us from Genesis 32. Again, that is Genesis chapter number 32. Verse 1, the Bible reads, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host. And he called the name of that place Manan. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned lately, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen, and asses, flocks, and men servants, and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, He came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and with 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, Esau come to the one company, and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, which saidest unto me, Return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast shown to thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, in the hand of my brother Esau, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother of the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, to make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats, and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 milk camels, with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves. And he said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, Maybe thy servant Jacob's, it is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also, he is behind us. And so commanded he the second, and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau, when he findeth thee. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him. Present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in company. And he arose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the four javelin. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and the rest of the man with him, until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be no more called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, both men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him. Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel did not of the city with strength, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the city that strength. Brother Adam, would you pray for us?
Lord, Heavenly Father, just thank you for your goodness and mercy, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, as you continue to bless our church and bless our efforts, Lord God. And ask you to bless the preaching as well tonight. Fill deeply with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and give us ears and a heart of wisdom and learning, Lord God. Just name and pray, amen.
Amen. So in Genesis 32, just to recap real quick, I know I touched on some of the earlier details last week in the first part of the chapter there, where he's kind of coming over and he's breaking up the family into droves and he's sending these gifts forward to Esau. And we talked about how, you know, the subtext, it really doesn't say it, but it might be that that's what actually turned Esau to, you know, reconcile with his brother here at the last minute. I mean, because you don't typically come out to meet somebody with 400 men You know, he may have for some other reason, but I don't want to re-preach all that. But so he splits up the droves there, and he sends them away. And then it says in verse 21, so he went present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And he was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So this is one of those famous stories that, you know, a lot of people are probably pretty familiar with in the Old Testament, where Jacob wrestles, as the text goes on to tell us, with the Lord. That this was actually, you know, I believe, an appearance, an Old Testament appearance of Christ that is wrestling, you know, literally wrestling with Jacob. It's just kind of an interesting story to think that God himself came down here and kind of tangled with a man. Like, he came in and kind of got into it a little bit. I don't think it was probably any kind of a violent fight or anything like that. You know, the Bible does say that a pastor can be no striker, right, not a brawler. But apparently you can be a grappler. So I guess that's okay, right, because that's kind of a sporting thing, right? But so the Lord came down, and literally he's wrestling and he's grappling with Jacob. And again, it kind of speaks to Jacob's, you know, the fact that he was a strong man, because it says in verse 24, and there he was left alone to wrestle the man with him until the breaking of the day, right? So that's a lot of wrestling. If he's wrestling, you know, we don't know exactly how long it was, but, you know, any length, any long bout of wrestling is quite a bit. You know, anybody that's done any grappling or anything like that, you know, even just me kind of play wrestling with my son, you know, after a few minutes or a little while, it's kind of like, all right, let's take a break, you know? So, but it just goes to show you that Jacob, you know, had a lot of stamina. He was a strong man. He was a capable man. And again, it's just another, you know, just another proof that Jacob was not some kind of a pansy or a sissy like some people like to insinuate, okay? But that's really not the point I want to drive in here, but the fact that God did wrestle with him. And then it says in verse 25, then he saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this is while this is going on, God, you know, has like this move or something where he kind of touches his thigh and it goes out of joint. So that's that. I've never experienced that. Has anyone ever had anything go out of joint? Have a bone move out of joint? Nobody? One person? Is it painful? I thought so. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good time, right? The doctor's got to put it back in sometimes and stuff like that. But here's Jacob with his, and the Bible says, you know, pay attention to the details here. It was out of joint as he wrestled with him, right? And Jacob still doesn't let go. He says in verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. That's the Lord speaking. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So get the picture. You know, he's been wrestling all night with God, of all people, right? This wasn't, you know, light work. And this is the Lord. And while he's wrestling, God, you know, does this move on him or whatever, and he touches his thigh, and it goes out of joint, and he continues to wrestle with him, and he wrestles with him to the point where God has to say, hey, let me go, right? Now, of course, God could have, you know, made that stop anytime he wanted, but he allowed it to go on to the point where he's kind of giving Jacob the option to let him go, okay? And I think there's so many different ways to kind of preach this. There's so many different great applications we can make out of this. You know, one, you know, a lot of people apply this to prayer, and I think that's a good application. You know, if we really, sometimes we want to pray with God, we don't want to, there might be times and seasons in our lives where, you know, just a quick, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, isn't going to cut it. You know, there's going to be times in our lives when we really need to get something from God, and, you know, it might even be that we end up praying through a night. We might find ourselves in a night watch praying to God, spiritually trying to get a hold of God, spiritually wrestling with God, going back and forth, and kind of having this attitude of, I'm not going to let go until I get what I want from the Lord, or I know that the Lord has heard me, that the Lord has acknowledged me, right? And of course, we understand that, you know, we can always come boldly before the throne of grace at any time. But, you know, it's a good picture that, you know, some prayers, some times that are spent with the Lord are more intense than others. You know, Lord, we have a unique capacity as Christians to be able to have a relationship with God and to have fellowship with God in prayer. and to be able to speak to God and know that we are heard of Him. So, you know, when we find ourselves in dire situations such as Jacob, because remember, this isn't a nice family reunion that he's going back to. He's uncertain of how Esau is going to respond after these 20 years. He just got, you know, just had that nice little breakup with Laban back there, right, where Laban was coming to do him harm, and God had to intervene. So obviously, you know, he's distraught. He's separating himself from the other people in his company, and he's taking time by himself to get with God and to get a hold of God and not wanting to let God go. This, you know, and it's kind of a character arc of Jacob. You know, we're kind of seeing him, of course, we're coming out of his life and we're going to move in, you know, to some other characters in the next couple of chapters. And so we've kind of seen the character Jacob kind of come and go. And we've seen this change in him, where now he's this man who has power and ability, and he's somebody that can get a hold of God and has faith in God. And so, you know, that's a lesson to us. You know, if we're going to go the distance as individuals, you know, being the anniversary, if we're going to go the distance as a church, you know, we have to be a church that's prepared to wrestle with the Lord to be able to go through some strenuous times, perhaps, and take what the Lord has for us. And I kind of want to make that point a little bit more tonight. He said, you know, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. You know, do we want to be blessed of God in our lives or not? You know, some people, I'm convinced, are just fully content to just kind of pass on God's blessing. You know, and that's a shame. You know, some people, Christians who could have the blessing of God, who could have God's working in their lives, you know, they don't have this attitude that Jacob has. You know, things get a little uncomfortable in the Christian life, and they just immediately let go. They just say, you know what, I'm out. This is costing me too much. This is uncomfortable. This isn't what I signed up for. They don't continue to not let go of God, you know. Because, again, that detail is important. He's wrestling with him, and it says while he wrestled, his hip was out of joint. You know, that a lot of people might have been like, okay, you win, right, and just stop right there. But he, in that discomfort, in that pain, says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, right? He wants something from God. This is the kind of tenacity that we need to have in our Christian lives. This is the kind of fortitude and desire that we need to have in our Christian's life if we really want God's blessing. Of course, we're all going to have God's blessing to some degree. I mean, there's the blessing of being saved and other things that we're just kind of, you know, we're inherently blessed by being Christians, right? But there's other things in our lives that maybe are more specific to our lives, specific blessings that we could have if we wanted them. But a lot of times those blessings might not necessarily come easy. You know, you might have to go through some difficulty. You might have to go through some trials. You might have to really wrestle, in a sense, with the Lord. And in the process of doing that, things could probably get uncomfortable. You know, this is Jacob after 20 years of serving and getting to know God and all that. Because remember in the beginning of the story, you know, he's seeing Jacob's ladder. God is speaking to him. He anoints the pillar and says, I'm going to come back to this place. And if I do come back, you know, this will be the house of God. And the Lord God will be my God. And now that's kind of coming full circle, right? So what we're seeing tonight in this chapter is Jacob's growth over a long period of time. And that's the same way for us as individuals, as a church, is that if we're going to grow, it's going to be over a long period of time, and there's going to be some discomfort along the way. There's going to be some uncomfortable situations, and not just in the sense of being awkward, right? I'm talking in the sense of being difficult, of being hard. There's going to be times when you're going to want to just quit. You want to just give up. You know, and that goes for everybody. You know, there's going to be times in the ministry where, you know, as I said, the announcements, a lot of churches don't make it this far. Because, you know, the churches disband, they fall apart, people kind of get disillusioned or whatever, and they quit. Or, you know, the preachers, the pastors, you know, they just say it's not worth it, it's too much of a sacrifice, whatever, and they quit. You know, the things get uncomfortable, their spiritual, you know, hip gets out of joint a little bit, because God's trying to make something happen, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. And rather than just holding on and getting through it, going through that, they just let go. You know, we don't want to be like that in our Christian lives. when we start to tangle with the Word of God, when we, you know, when our flesh comes in opposition with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, don't just set the book down and say, well, that's enough for me. You know, I'm not going to do anything. You know, you need to wrestle with that. You need to let your flesh get, you know, a little messed up there. Get in the mix and put that thing down, right? And in a sense, wrestle with God, with God's will for your life. Don't just throw in the towel and quit. Because Jacob here at the end is a powerful testimony, right? And God even says of him, you know, you have power as of a prince with God and man. Right? He has influence. He can persuade God. You know, God is somebody that can be persuaded. You know, Moses persuaded God. Remember that? When he said, step aside, Moses, I'm going to destroy this people and start over with you. And Moses, you know, fell on his face and beseeched God and said, well, you know, if you do that, I'm paraphrasing here, what are the heathen going to say? And God said, all right, I won't do it. You're right. He reconsidered. So, you know, stories like that should show us that, you know, we can influence God. God can even change his mind or move in another direction or, you know, answer our prayers. But that it doesn't always come easy. It's not just this simple thing. Sometimes, you know, you have to really go through something in order to have that influence with God, to be able to persuade him. God's got to know you're the real deal. You're not just going to quit, bow out, and let go. So he says, I'm not going to let you go except thou bless me. And he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Right? He's prevailed over men. He's prevailed over Laban. He's prevailed over Esau. And he's prevailed over those that have opposed him, right? But he also has power with God and with men. And he's been given this new name, so that's where we get Israel, right? So Jacob becomes Israel in the story. And, of course, that's a great picture of salvation, too, in a sense, right? Because, you know, when we're saved, we're given a new name. We become a new creature. And in fact, if you would, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You can keep something there in Genesis if you want. I'll refer back to it a little bit as we move through the story tonight. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So, again, you know, we want to be people that don't just quit when things get tough, when things get hard, when things get uncomfortable. You know, that if we power through that, if we stick to it, if we have some fortitude, you know, God is going to acknowledge that, and we might even have more ability to persuade God and others when we go through these things. But you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse 17. He says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it's this new creature. That's kind of that, I believe, that picture that's there with this new name being given unto Jacob. That's kind of a lesson to us too, is that, you know, we are new in Christ. Just as he's been kind of given this new name, we also have a new name. You know, Revelation talks about that, the stone with the new name, how God's going to write his new name on certain individuals. And even here, we are told that we are a new creature. Now, if you would, keep something in 2 Corinthians 5, because I'll make application here in a minute, and go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Where we'll see more of this in the New Testament, where it's showing us, you know, that we're not what we used to be. When you got saved, you changed. Something changed in you. And God left a mark. You know, God made an impression on you. Just like with Jacob, right? When he got with God, when he spent that time with the Lord, you know, he came out different. Something had changed. And it wasn't just his name, right? Because remember, at the end of the story, they see him coming in the morning, and he was halt upon his thigh, meaning he had a limp. You know, and from the story, what it sounds like is like that was with him for the rest of his life. He just had a very distinct walk. His gait was changed. Like the way he walked through this world was different from that day forward. So, you know, like I said in the beginning, there's so many different ways to preach this passage. But, you know, I kind of started out with one direction, but we're going to kind of just apply it to salvation now. Right, and the impression that it should make on us and others. You know, when you got saved, things changed. You became a new creature. You became a new man, right? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, "For he is our peace who hath made both one." Now, of course, in context, this is talking about the Gentiles in Israel, how he's broken down that middle wall of partition between us, as it says there in the end of verse 15, "and for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace," right? So he's broken down that middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, and he's made one new man, or one body, would be another way to kind of put that, right? But again, it's the idea that something changed. You know, through Christ, through our salvation, we're a new creature, we're a new man. Something has changed. We're different. And obviously, in Jacob's case, it was very apparent. It was a physical thing that had changed. It's not going to be that way with us necessarily, but something has changed inside of us. There's this new man. There's the Spirit that has been revived within us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are different than before we got saved. And that's going to be a permanent change that's always there. Just like Jacob's always going to have that limp. He's always going to have that new name. Something's changed. And there's purpose behind that. There's a purpose behind, you know, that change having taken place. And that's why, you know, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, okay, and not in the flesh. If you're there in Ephesians, just go to Ephesians chapter number 4, where we'll see, you know, the Bible talks about this a lot, about the fact that we're new in Christ, we're born again, and that we have changed in some way. Ephesians 4, I'll start reading in verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man," right? And this is part of the Christian life. And this is kind of what I was talking about earlier. This is some of the wrestling you might have to do in your Christian life. Because, you know, it's easy to just write that down and read it, you know, and it's easy to just read that on a paper. Just to read through your Bible and say, oh yeah, you know, put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man. What could be so hard about that? That sounds pretty easy, right? No, that's wrestling. Anybody who is trying to walk in that new man knows that that's not easy. That's difficult, right? Because the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and these two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's always going to be this inner turmoil. There's always going to be this wrestling between, you know, the Spirit of God in us and the old man that's in us, kind of going back and forth, you know, and it's gonna be there, right? But that's something that we're commanded to do. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness, right? So that's kind of a picture of that wrestling when it comes to salvation. Putting off the old and putting on the new. You know, that's not a one-time deal, folks. You know, you're not just going to come in some church service, hear a sermon about it, and be like, okay, done, check, what's next, right? You're not going to put in so many years in the Christian life and say, well, you know, I finally got over that hump between, you know, with the old man. That's gonna be a battle that we fight every day. That's why Paul said, I die daily. That's why we have to mortify the members of our flesh. That's why this is a continual putting on, right? You got to wake up every morning and decide, are you going to walk in the flesh or are you going to walk in the Spirit today? And some days, you might have to decide that moment by moment. When we're going through temptation, some trial, when the flesh has a very strong pull, when it's the old man seems like he's alive and well and is trying to get his way, you know, that's when you're going to have to get a hold of him and wrestle him down and not let go, right? Get a hold of the new man and say, I'm not going to let go of the new man. I'm walking in the Spirit. You know, that might be a moment by moment thing for you. You know, there might be days, weeks, months, yeah, even years where people have to go through that. And maybe sometimes, you know, they get beat a little bit. Maybe sometimes the old man gets a leg up on them, right? But all I'm saying tonight is if you stick with that, you know, you will in time have power. You will prevail, right? That's what God said about Jacob. He said, you know, you stuck with it. I touched your thigh. Things got difficult. Things got hard. It was out of joint. You know, a lot of other people would have quit. You stuck with it. You have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. You know, we can have that same thing said of us. You know, if when the flesh rears its ugly head, we put it in a headlock, right? Maybe get a little noogie. saying, take that, old man, right? And hang in there. And don't quit. Wet willy, you know, whatever. I mean, slap the old man around is all I'm saying. You know, we walk, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the sword of the Spirit. We can have victory over the flesh if we want it. But again, the picture is that gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? It's a lot easier to just say, I give up, you know, whatever, and just give in. And then, you know, you give in to whatever temptation it is, whatever sin it is. And you always feel so good afterward, don't you? You always feel like, man, I'm glad I did that. Nope, right? Immediately you realize how the Spirit has been grieved and you've quenched the working of the Holy Spirit. You feel like you've failed again. You know, that's going to happen. You know, life isn't perfect, but even in those instances, you know what you need to do is you pick yourself back up and say, you've won this round, old man, but the next one's mine. And you might find yourself on a bit of a winning streak if you keep that attitude. Don't be one of those people where, you know, when the old man slips one in there, you know, that you just throw in the towel and quit. Where were we here? So Jacob's being given this new name after he's wrestled, after he's prevailed with God. And, you know, we've been given a new man. We've been changed. We're a new creature. We have wrestlings with the old man ourselves, too. We have a wrestling in our lives to do. We should serve in the newness of the Spirit. We should walk in newness of life, as it says in Romans. If you would, just go back to our story in Genesis, but we will be back. We're actually going to be back in the New Testament, so keep something over there near 2 Corinthians, I guess. So we see in the story that, you know, Jacob is going through, he's distraught, he's going through this turmoil, and he wrestles with God. It's a great picture of the Christian life. It's a great picture of salvation. We're given that new name. We're going to have wrestlings ourselves. It's going to be uncomfortable. But, you know, there is a purpose behind it. And if we stick with it, you know, if we don't give up when things are difficult and don't give up when things are hard and don't give up when we feel like it, and you will feel like it. It's just a fact. There's going to be times when you're going to want to quit. There's going to be times where you're going to just ask yourself, you know, why am I even living for God? Why am I even going through, you know, these motions? Why am I going to this church? Why am I trying to have these standards? Why am I trying to raise my family this way? It would be so much easier to just go along with what everybody's doing. You know, I wouldn't stand out at work. I wouldn't stand out at, you know, at the grocery store or wherever. You know, people wouldn't look at me weird when I walk into the grocery store with my girls, you know, and they're all in dresses and my wife is in dress and, you know, and everyone kind of looks at you sideways. I don't know, that probably doesn't happen that often, right? But you know what I'm saying, right? I'm just using it as an example. You know, we wouldn't be that peculiar people, right? We could just go along and, you know, the family would quit saying things about us behind our back, or old friends wouldn't, you know, call us a holier than thou. You know, we wouldn't have a lot of the conflict in our lives that we have. We wouldn't have a lot of the friction that's there. And all we're trying to do is just serve God. All we're trying to do is just be right with God. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to actually do something good, right? And it puts us at odds with our flesh. It puts us at odds with the world around us, our friends, our family. You know, there's going to be times where you're going to say, you know, what's the point? Why bother, right? Well, the point is that in the long run, you will be a testimony to maybe to some of those same people. There's going to be people that do recognize that there is something different about you. And maybe not just that you've changed, but, you know, that you actually have some wisdom, some knowledge, some power with God. You know, it's funny, you know, people will get saved and start living for God, and they'll get all this backlash from friends and family because, you know, they quit drinking, they quit smoking, they quit getting high, they quit, you know, they don't run to the same excess as riot, right? So they get kind of mocked, you know, they get kind of made fun of. And then as time goes by and as years go by, you know, those same people that had such a big problem with you, you know, being this holy roller or whatever they want, you know, all the names that they use, as time goes by, they see you just being consistent, sticking by the stuff, and they find out that you're not in a cult. Right? You're in a Baptist church. It's a pretty regular denomination, right, that's out there. You're just an average Christian, just kind of living your life, and you're just not doing some of the things you used to do, whatever. Those same people, when they get in a predicament, it's funny, they'll come to you. They'll go, well, now we should actually go talk to them and see if we can get some advice about, you know, now that we have kids and we have rebellious teenagers and, you know, our life is getting turned upside down and everything, you know, is going wrong. Let's go see what they have to say. It works that way sometimes. I'm not saying it's going to happen every time, but it's kind of funny how that works. When you just stick by it, you don't give up. Those same people, they notice that there's something different about you, and it makes an impression on them. And you kind of see that in the story, right? Because Jacob goes through his discomfort. He goes through his wrestling. He doesn't let go until he's blessed, and he is blessed. And he's separated from everybody. And it says in verse 29, and Jacob asked, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That's how we know this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God the Father said, no man shall see my face and live. It's another sermon. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. Right? So again, it's like this picture of a you know, a new beginning. Something's changed. Something's different. It's a new day, right? But he halted upon his thigh, right? This had made a mark. It left an impression. And then later in the story, we'll see that the people that saw that, they took note of that, right? They, it says in verse 32, therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. So I don't know if this is the right thigh or the left thigh, but whatever animal they're eating, they're like, we're not going to eat one of these thighs. We're gonna leave that sinew alone, right? Because they were acknowledging what had happened to Jacob. It was a way to remember that. I mean, this made such a powerful impression, right? But were any of these people there? Did they see this happen? All they heard was the testimony of Jacob, right? They heard what happened. He was able to, they say, what happened? Why are you different? What has changed about you? Why are you halt upon your thigh? And he was able to say, well, because I wrestled a man until the breaking of the day, and I'm pretty sure it was the Lord. Because I tried all my best moves, and they didn't work, right? And he just touched my thigh, and I went out of joint. So, you know, yeah, he went through this discomfort. He went through this trial. He went through this tribulation. It was uncomfortable, painful even. But, you know, it was a testimony later. It was something that he could tell other people about. And people, it made such an impression on them that they, you know, gave up perfectly good red meat. You know, they're just like passing on the sinew on the right thigh or whatever. Why? Because of what happened to Jacob, right? And it's the same thing in our life. You know, if we stick by the stuff, if we wrestle with God, if we wrestle with the old man, if we put down the old man, if we stick with it, we will make an impression. Other people will notice. Other people will take note of the fact that something's happening. You know, it's the same way. Let's just apply it again, since it's the anniversary, to this church. You know, it's been 6 years. If we go another six, you know, and we go through, and look, we haven't been through a lot of things a lot of other churches have been through. But like any church, you know, we've had drama here and there. You know, we've gone through difficult things. Things have happened in this church. And I mean, nothing earth-shattering, praise God. But, you know, maybe that's what's on the horizon. Happy anniversary. But, you know, but you think about other churches. Think about Faithful Word Tempe and other churches that we know that have gone through very difficult things. You know, yeah, it wasn't fun, but at the same time, it made an impression, didn't it? People saw that. They said, there's something different here. And, you know, it's had a ripple effect through the years where people are hearing the Word of God being preached, they're getting saved, they're getting right with God, lives are being changed because someone was willing to go through great difficulty, go through trials. The same is said of us in our own lives, and the same can be said of us collectively as a church. You know, if we stick with it, I guarantee you, in time, people will notice that. We'll say there's something different here. This church is sticking by the stuff. And this is just kind of the pattern. And I do want to take the time and just remind us of Paul, because Paul is somebody that can testify of this. I should have had you keep something in Ephesians, but because Galatians is right there. So if you would, just go to Galatians real quick, and I promise I'll wrap up. We're going to be in Galatians, and then we'll be in 2 Corinthians after that. But again, let me just make sure we're all on the same page here. Jacob wrestles with the Lord, his hip's out of joint. He doesn't let go. He gets blessed. His name is changed. He has power with God and men. He has prevailed. And now, as he's leaving Penuel and he's walking, you know, it's kind of this great picture. You know, the sun's coming up and here comes Jacob. But something's different, right? He's halt. Something's changed. And that difficulty, that trial that he went through has left a mark on him, but it's also made an impression on the people that see him, right? They're noticing something's different. And it actually, you know, it opens up an opportunity for him to tell them about the Lord, right? Because he was alone. They didn't go, oh, I know why he's limping, because he wrestled with the Lord. He had to explain this to them, right? So you can kind of see how that's a picture of us in our Christian lives. If we don't throw in the towel, if we don't give up, and we go through trials and we go through difficulties, it's going to leave a mark, first of all. There might be some hurt, there might be some pain, there might be some difficulty. In fact, there will be. But it's worth it because in the end, you're going to be able to testify of God. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. He said, as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. I like what he says here, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So Paul's basically saying, if people want to call into question my integrity or my sincerity or my authority, he's like, my proof is, you know, not some degree I've got hanging on a wall. It's the literal physical wounds, the scars that I bear in my body, right? And we could go and look at all the different things that he went through, all the beatings he took, the being stoned, whipped, nearly drowned, I mean, being destitute. You know, I'm sure the ministry aged Paul quite a bit, you know, and left in a very permanent marks, plural, on his body. And, you know, that's part of the Christian life. Now, look, I'm not saying we're all going to have physical wounds to show. We're not going to have scars. You know, maybe, you know, it's a possibility, I guess. But, you know, we might have to go through things that are emotionally uncomfortable. You know, things that are difficult, things that are hard. You know, I remember experiencing this on just a small scale. Like, I'm not at all even trying to propose that, you know, that somehow I've reached the level of Paul or something like that, okay? But there, you know, it's different when you get on this side of the pulpit. Like, you start to see things, you know, a different way. You start to understand that the demands of the ministry. You know, and I'm not going to go into the details, but I remember, you know, this blow-up we had up in the Tempe church, and I remember, and this was like, you know, Pastor Anderson's been through a couple already, so he's kind of able to kind of talk me through some of these things. And I remember I was on the phone with him, and I said, you know, I haven't been able to eat because I just have such a stomach ache all the time from everything that's going on, all the stress. And it turns out there's like a literal, like, your stomach has nerves in it, but your body normally just ignores it. But when you go through, you know, high levels of stress, like, all your nerves are heightened or something like that. And you just have like this dull ache in your stomach just from the stress of what's going on. Has anyone else ever experienced that? You don't have to be in the ministry to experience this, obviously. You know, but that was kind of, that's when I experienced it. You know, I've never been through that degree of stress until I'd gotten in the ministry. You know, and I'm just saying that to kind of show us that, you know, if we're going to serve God and we're going to live for the Lord, you know, there might not be like a literal whipping or a beating or something like that. That there's going to be stressful times, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be trials and tribulations. I mean, Paul said in 2 Timothy, you know, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, whether you're behind the pulpit or whether you're in the pew. If you're going to stick by the stuff and maybe go through a trial or two in your personal life or with a church, you know, you might experience maybe even some physical symptoms, and you might even have some sleepless nights, and there might be whole weeks and months and a season of your life you'd just rather forget. There might be whole groups of people you just would rather have never known because of your desire to serve God. You know, that's part of that tribulation, that persecution. And maybe we will. You know, I pray not, but it might be that we go through physical tribulation sometime. But my point is this, is that, and if you would go to 2 Corinthians 5, I'll wrap up, is that if you don't quit, if you don't go through that, if you suffer these things, if you go through, as Paul said, much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God, if on your way to heaven you decide that you're not going to quit, you're not going to let go, you're going to keep the blessing of God in your life no matter how uncomfortable it gets, in the end, you'll not only have the power with God and with man and have prevailed, but you'll actually have a testimony that you will actually be a help to other people. And again, you're in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to get over there with you real quick here. But, you know, Paul was halt, or not Paul, Jacob was halt upon his thigh. You know, that left a permanent mark on his body. His tangling with his Lord, his wrestling, it was a permanent physical disability that he had, I believe, from that day forward. I don't know, maybe it healed up. I've always got the impression that, you know, he just had that limp for the rest of his life. Maybe as a reminder, you know, maybe to kind of humble him a little bit. Are you in 2 Corinthians 5? You know, you wonder why some people have to suffer more than others. It might be because God has to, you know, humble them, you know, keep them humble. You know, God might allow us to go through things so that we don't get too big for our britches, that we don't get too puffed up and lifted up and we forsake the Lord or think we don't need him. 2 Corinthians 5, if you look at verse 17, where Paul's talking about, you know, the revelations that he had. If you read the beginning half of the verse or the chapter, he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Right? We read that earlier. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know, I jumped ahead. This isn't the passage I wanted. We're going to come back to that. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Sorry. The point I was trying to make is that, you know, if we go through these things, you know, God might take us through these things to keep us humble, right? And that's what happened to Paul. He said in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, the abundance of the revelations that were given, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Because he's talking about, you know, all the wisdom I was given, all the revelation that he had from God. And he's saying, but I also had a thorn in the flesh. A literal messenger of Satan was there to buffet him. You know, maybe that's him being hyperbolic, I don't know, but, you know, or maybe it was literally true. "For this thing," he said in verse 8, "the Lord, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Notice this, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You say, you know, it doesn't sound like it was, you know, what's the deal with Jacob having a limp? That doesn't sound nice. God touched the hollow of his thigh and shrank the sinew, and now he's got a limp for the rest of his life? That might be what comes with you wrestling with God. That might be what comes with the territory of just sticking with it and not giving up, putting down the flesh and staying faithful. You know, you're going to get some wounds along the way. Some things are going to happen. You know, maybe some things that are never going to heal up. Things might always kind of be raw that way. But Paul's saying, hey, you know, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said, I'm real bitter about it. You know, and I don't know who God thinks he is, you know, buffeting me. No, he's saying God did that to humble me because of the abundance of revelations. And he said, I will therefore rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. He said that if, you know, going in order to have the power of Christ means I have to be buffeted. If it means that I have to have a thorn in the flesh, so be it. You know, that's the same kind of mentality that Jacob had in our story. If me getting blessed by God, if me having, you know, power with God and with men means I'm going to have a limp for the rest of my life, so be it. You know, this is the mentality that we have to have if we're going to go the distance in our Christian lives as a church. If we're going to have to go through the fire, if we're going to have to go through trials and tribulations, if we're going to have to face things and things are going to leave permanent, you know, marks upon us in whatever shape or form, so be it if it means it's the power of God. So be it if it means that we're a testimony for Christ. As he goes on and says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, where I was reading, he said, now we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We have the power of God, and we have the opportunity to be a testimony. Like Jacob. Jacob was able to tell them, here's what happened, and they acknowledged that. We're that new creature. We wrestle with our own flesh. We wrestle against the powers and the principalities and the darkness of this world. It's going to leave a mark, but you know what? We're going to have power, and we're going to have a testimony. We're going to be able to be ambassadors for Christ and to share a message, and people will hear it, and people will get saved. And God will be glorified on our part, you know, if we're willing to be reproached for the name of Christ. So, you know, that's why I wanted to touch on that part of this chapter there tonight. I think it's an important story. There's so many different ways to preach it. You could apply it to so many different things in the Christian life. But I definitely think there's a little bit of a parallel there when it comes to serving God, right? With Jacob and Paul and ourselves. We want power. We want to be a testimony. Well, when things get tough, when things get hard, when that wrestling match goes on a little longer than maybe we'd like, when something painful happens or things get uncomfortable, you know, we have to stick with it. We can't let go. We can't quit. Can't just give up. Because here's, and look, you need to determine that now. You have to make that determination now. Don't say, well, I'll decide. I'll see how bad things get. I'll see how hard it actually is. You know, I'm going to quit this sin, or I'm going to give up this sin, or whatever. You know, if it's not too hard, you're going to give in every time. I'll stick with this church until, you know, the preacher asks more than I, you know, want to give. You know, I'll listen to this preaching until, you know, the Bible, you know, reaches the limit with me. Well, we'll find it. And 6 years from now, you know, there'll be a whole different crowd here potentially if everyone got that attitude, or none at all. You know, if we're going to stick with it for the long haul, we have to be okay with, like Paul, being buffeted, having a thorn in the flesh. We have to be okay, like Jacob, of allowing God to inflict maybe some discomfort in our lives and maybe even, you know, leaving us halt, weaker than when we went in the flesh, and yet stronger in the spirit, having the power of God rest upon us and the opportunity to be a powerful testimony on God's behalf and to His glory. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for these last 6 years that we've had together as a body. And Lord, I thank you for the many that have just been faithful over the years. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your faithfulness, Lord, that I know and believe, Lord, that your eye is upon this church and that you are guiding and you're leading. And Lord, I pray, help us to continue to have patience and help us to continue to have the desire to serve you, Lord, and not just for the short term, Lord, that we would be able to see many more souls come to you through the ministry here. And Lord, that we would be continually changed through the preaching of the Word of God that takes place here. We thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. It's in His name we pray, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we are dismissed tonight.
Right, please open up your hymnals to song number 63.